What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and this isn't going to be your typical episode of the podcast. No. Instead, this is an episode of the awesome podcast called The Mavcast by Charlie Maverick. Charlie was nice enough to allow me to post this episode of his show. In this episode, I was a guest appearance, and we talked about the Game of the Year debate, gaming consoles, in cars, and why I created the Single Player Experience podcast. So, I just wanted to share this episode with you because I think there's a lot of useful information here for gamers and for fans of this podcast. So, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, hit the beat. This is the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single-player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single-player experience. Now, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat.
This is a Maverick Podcast Network production. Oh man, Sebastian, welcome back to the pod, man. How have you been? Long time, right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I must say that. Getting closer to the holidays, which it's getting a little hectic.
Yeah, for sure. Have you done all your Christmas shopping? What's the big tech item for the season for you?
Man, I haven't started. I told my wife the other day, I'm like, I need to find something for me to buy. Because the only thing I bought for Black Friday was a new Roku, updated Roku, rather.
Not bad.
Yeah, it was a good purchase, but mm-hmm. I didn't really care for anything that they had out there. I don't know. Maybe I have everything, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
How about you?
So with the Roku, did you buy the box or the stick?
I got the Ultra.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing, I like the updated one. The remote is voice controlled and it's hands-free, which I just found out yesterday by accident. Should have read the manual. And the way that it upscales is like really good. So it defaults to whatever your TV can produce. So I got a HDR 10 Plus Samsung. Mm-hmm. So it does that really well. So it defaults, unless you go into the settings and change it. And it does default to Atmos if you have a speaker that allows it. But I do find that you might want to put it back to just being passed through because it lowers the volume on stuff. But other than that, dude, that thing is a beast.
I have a similar situation, but I use mine in my projector in the film room.
And
yes. So like my projector isn't Wi-Fi. I'm like if it's smart in any capacity. So it's just like just standard about just showing off pictures. So I usually like hook it up because it does have a HDMI function into it. So I can hook everything up and then it'll up res. So I like that.
Yeah, man. What you been watching lately?
Been watching a lot. Lately, you know, I watched Black Panther Wakanda Forever, watched that. You know, really enjoyed that. Enjoy that. I do have some thoughts, you know, some critiques here and there, but, you know, like, I digress. I really enjoyed that movie. I've been watching some of the just minor TV shows, just nerding out. You know, I feel like this has been a really good year for nerdy content. You know, we had...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We had House of the Dragon. We had the Lord of the Rings show, Rings of Power, not too long ago.
That's right.
Cobra Kai dropped. You got She-Hulk dropped. I just watched Guardians of the Galaxy, their Christmas special the other day. So it's been a pretty good year.
Yeah, I like those. I saw that on the recommendations, but I didn't get to it yet. I'm trying to save that closer to the holidays. So I don't...
Yeah, here in my house where my wife is decorated with like 5 Christmas trees, the holiday has been going on since like October, basically.
What? Oh, man. When we first had you on the show, you had the Pro Nerd Report podcast just starting. Since then, you pivoted to a different direction and changed the name of it. So now it's called the Single Player Experience. Mm-hmm. Talk us through how you had your thought process of changing the focus of the show and the name.
So when I first created the Pro Nerd Report, it was a show about all sorts of different kind of areas of nerddom. You know, it was multifaceted. It was like one minute I'd be talking about video games, the next I'd be talking about anime, and the next I'd be talking about TV shows and movies. And, you know, like it was all over the place. It really was. So I found that it lacked direction, and I knew that people didn't necessarily know what to expect week from week, which is good in an entertainment sense because, you know, it always keeps people on your toes, but it's bad in the sense that, you know, like it's hard to tune into a show that you don't know what to expect every week. You don't know what the underlying theme is going to be every week.
That's true.
You don't watch, yeah, you don't watch a TV show and just like every episode is a different kind of thing. There's always a certain theme line
you get lost
around. Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's always a sort of like neutral theme throughout everything we do and everything we watch. When we tell a story, we have a theme all through it. And I found that, you know, like with talking to you and talking to other people around the podcasting community, I decided to really get niched down and really get focused in on like delivering quality content that people knew what to expect week for week. So I decided to create a show called The Single Player Experience. It's a video game podcast dedicated to helping single players like myself with their video game backlogs and dedicated to just talking about good single player experiences that you can play as gamers.
So the name single player, so you're single player, mm-hmm. but you're married. So that dynamic, right? So
yeah.
A little bit kind of like me to an extent, because I watch my wife play video games all day. Sometimes, mm-hmm. like, I literally got a Nintendo Switch so I could do Wii bowling, because I do not play hardcore games, except, like, I don't know, Mortal Kombat maybe here mm-hmm. and there. But, yeah, so explain, like, how that dynamic works in the house.
You know, so, like, I guess you could say in like the dating community and the dating realm, especially like us as chocolate people, like, you know, being a single player means a little bit different thing than it does in the gaming world. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. You know, like being a gamer as, you know, a single player gamer means that, you know, you're just a guy who likes to play single player based games. You know, you don't lean towards the multiplayer experience where you're playing games like Call of Duty, Fortnite, Overwatch and all those kind of things online. You're more strictly, you love games that are based rich in story and world creation and lore, you know, like versus a single player, you know, you out in the streets just doing your thing. You know what I mean?
You by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you know, like my wife is not a gamer at all. So, you know, I had to basically explain there's a difference in between that nuanced of like dialogue there. But after that, it's all gravy after that, you know. So like the gamers kind of understand what the lingo is. They know that they're getting like a podcast dedicated to giving them and telling them about great single player games and great single player experiences that you can play on Nintendo Switch, on PlayStation, Xbox, and on PCs.
Man, does your wife watch you play a lot, or does she just give you a space?
No, she mostly, like, I have a dedicated, so we split our media room, our upstairs media room, into two sections. And those two sections, like, is this dedicated movie room area, which we have, like, a projector, we have, like, a screen and everything like that. That's our movie area. And then, like, for the most part, I'm in the gaming area just doing my own thing. I'm like, So now I'm like, I'm part of the gaming press industry. So I get like early reviews on different copies of games. So moving on up in the world there. But like,
Yeah,
for sure. So like she looks at some of the games that I play and she's like, oh, that looks cool. But, you know, for the most part, she's watching like the Housewives or like Who's Selling Something on reality TV, Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, like she's doing her own thing as well.
Well, at least she, you know, you guys like intermingle in the same room at least.
Yeah.
So when you get into the games really deep and you're talking about the nuances of the games, your reviews, your feedback, and all that, your recommendations, and with the whole pivot of the podcast, how has that been received so far? Has it been the best decision you ever made in your life?
it was, you know, like everything, change is scary at first. You know, like when you first start something and it's completely different than what you were doing before, there is that initial like unknown waters, so to speak. You're moving through unknown waters. There's a little bit of like, pushback in the sense that you don't know what the response is going to be. And, you know, I did lose some viewerships in the span of, like, people were listening into my views on anime, and then people were listening to my views on, like, movies. But, like, I gained a rich community, and, like, I've gained a lot of following by, you know, for people who really wanted to learn about single-player games and single-player experiences. And there's a lot of us out there that wanted to talk more about, like, the God Wars of the world and wanted to talk about The Last of Us of the world versus,
right.
you know, the, yeah, versus the... And I'm not knocking on other gaming podcasts here, but a lot of them are focused on just the news stories or, like, hey, what's really hot right now? What's trending right now as far as, like, the big multiplayer games we can all play together. So there was a pocket there of people who were missing that voice. Mm. And I sort of became that voice for them. So it was a little bit scary at first. And then it kind of like, the ship kind of righted itself. And now like, I still get to talk to those people. Like a lot of the people who felt like they really wanted to listen to the Pro Nerd Report versus the single player experience
right.
have reached out and, you know, like we still, you know, talk, message on Discord or message on our emails. I have a contact section that you can hit me up on the pronerdreport.com/the comment section. So like a lot of people hit me up on there. So, you know, it's still pretty gravy. And so far the transition's really worked.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you change directions like that. But yeah, I commend you on doing that. So you get more of a target, more, I guess,
target audience and demographic.
Yeah, and it feels like you have more of a better communication back and forth with your people because they know what they expect, like you were saying, from week to week. So will you ever do a new podcast focused on the other stuff?
So with me keeping the brand of the Pro Nerd Report, like a lot of the stuff that I do, the reviews, the single player experience, all that falls under the brand, the Pro Nerd Report. And the game plan is when the Empire is still building, but when the Empire is when the Empire is like built into a substantial marker, I'm gonna probably have a podcast dedicated to just anime, have a podcast dedicated to movies and TV shows. So it's just all about like this is building the foundation of a bigger empire to come.
Yeah, you know, I'm a product manager and I think of things kind of like in an iterative state. So you got your MVP, minimal viable product, you build an empire, right? So you got the foundation. Then you start expanding and expanding. It takes a lot of thought, preparation, and knowing how to do a phased approach to build that out in a meaningful way that doesn't overwhelm or cannibalize what you've already put out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where you got to continue to step out on faith, you know, reworking things. And, yeah, I mean, you got the brand already, Pro Nerd, you know, that's dope. I like how you did that, pulled that back, you know, have that umbrella. So, yeah, you can do anything with that, man. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, there's so many facets of nerddom. And, you know, to be a pro nerd, and it's just being a nerd that's extremely knowledgeable in the area. So there's a lot of ways we can go with it. I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to get that anime podcast because I want you to talk, like, in depth about Bleach. You know, the new
man.
Bleach. Yeah, oh, man. Whew. Yeah, that's
so good.
Crazy. Yes, it is. No spoilers yet. No spoilers yet.
Mm-hmm.
So got you on today. Talk about a few things. You're got a gaming podcast, so I wanted to ask you a few things about gaming. Now, first, let's talk about something that was on your mind because it's towards the end of the year and people are buying consoles or trying to buy consoles, I guess. Are people still looking for the PS5 like that?
It's more handily available than it was, like readily available than it was at the beginning of like 2020 or the end of 2020, but like it is still a little bit of a fight. I know, like, I was in my, you know, local Target not too long ago and I saw one in store, and that was the first time I'd ever seen one in store, and that was like 2 weeks ago. And it was almost like meeting a celebrity where you like stop in place and you're like, oh snap, it's actually
what?
Here. Yeah.
Is that Morgan Freeman?
Exactly. And it was one of those things to where like the greedy part of me was just like, man, I already got a PS5, but I ain't got a downstairs PS5. And I'm like, it's right there. I'm like, I might as well snatch it up.
I mean, is it like still like overpriced versus like what they initially said it would have been?
you know, like resellers will still overprice it, but it's the market, like as it became readily available, the market has sort of like plateaued a bit for resellers, so to speak. The retail market isn't as hot as it was in 2020. I would probably say the big news as far as like the price point is that Sony themselves have raised the price on the PS5.
Wow.
It went, I've never, especially in 2 years into a life cycle for a console, I've never seen a console manufacturer raise the price 2 years after a console's release by $50. I've never seen that before.
They usually come out with a different iteration and then slightly lower price, right?
Oh, for sure. Like usually it's either one of two ways. It's usually they come up with a slightly iteration, like a PlayStation Slim, so to speak. Like we got a slim PS3, a slim PS4, and it'll be like a lower price market. And then like there's also, you know, like last generation, they did the PS4 Pro, and that was like a beefed up version of the PlayStation 4. So that one came at a higher price point. But it's shocking because like, you know, like, you hear about the Oculus. The Oculus also did the same thing. It raised its price.
Oh, a lot. Jesus.
Oh, by a lot. Not just $50. That was a lot.
almost a thousand, isn't it?
Yeah, like that's the big beefy version. But like the main version even was like the main primary 64 gig, I think, was raised by $100. So that's a substantial. Yeah, but I mean, you know, like you're talking about like something that went from like $300 to $400. I mean, with tax included, that's, you know, like that's a substantial marker versus, you know, like that puts it into its own place to where it's higher, just as priced as the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, which are two beefy consoles. So when you look at it like that, that is a substantial markup.
Yeah. I mean, are they just doing it, I wonder, because inflation? Or
I think so.
Is it really costing them that much more, you know?
Inflation plus the chip shortage. I think the chip shortage is still a factor in our society today.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So with all these people buying gaming consoles, if they can, you wanted to talk about the game of the year. Now, tell me, is it like, okay, so is there like a list awards of you know, top games for 2022 that they have, kind of like the Billboard charts? Do they have that officially out there, right?
Yeah, they do. So there's a number of different places, like your IGNs of the world, your GameSpots of the world, that are like, you know, video game journalist sites that have their own list. They usually do their own curated list towards the end of the year. But then there's just like they have award ceremonies, like, you know, the Billboard Awards or like the Oscars and all that kind of stuff. They have this thing called the Game Awards at the end of the year, which is coming. Well, I mean, as the time of recording, it'll be within the next week or so.
Yeah.
So the Game Awards, you know, they usually do like maybe, I want to say like 20 different topics, and each one of those categories, you know, like they have maybe five to six games that are nominated per category. And this year's category of Game of the Year is a decent showing. I mean, you have games like Plague Tale: Requiem, which is on Game Pass right now. If anyone's an Xbox user, you have Stray, which was a PlayStation like indie exclusive that came out. It was like the most realistic cat simulator game. It's weird to say. Yeah.
Hold on. What, cat simulator?
Yeah, it's like a it's like a game where you're playing as a cat. I kid you not. Okay. You're playing as a cat, like a tabby cat, and you're walking around, and the general gist of it is, as opposed to you being like in a house like you and I have, it is set in a dystopian future run by like robots. So you're like kind of like, yeah, so you're kind of like walking around as a cat in a stealth environment where you're trying not to get caught by like these almost like Will Smith's iRobot kind of types. Like, kind of think about
One of Us.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like them versus, I guess you can say, what was that movie? District 9's kind of robots, you know, kind of like a fixture, like a mixture between those types. So it is it's a surprisingly good game, especially at the price point for around like $20, I think is what it released for. No, not bad. Not bad experience. And then you have games like Xenoblade 3, which came out from the Nintendo Switch. I think that is the best bang for your buck as far as a Nintendo Switch game that came out this year.
Tell me more about that, because I got the Switch and I like Switch sometimes, you know?
So Xenoblade, think it's in a similar vein of like Final Fantasy, or like a similar vein of like, yeah, like a similar vein
RPG?
Of Final
Fantasy.
It is a big beefy RPG. Ooh, it is, okay. Yeah, big beefy RPG. It'll take you a lot of time to beat, a lot of time to play. You know, in the story, you know, it's kind of like your cut and dry Japanese RPG type story. So it's kind of, you know, like save the world type of thing. So it's not like too involved, but like the side characters you meet and the gameplay is really fun. It has a gameplay. It's has like a beautiful open world. It's very vast, the country you play in. So you know, I believe to even explore every section of the map will probably take you 30 hours minimum to do that. So
damn.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that's not even like you beating the game. That's just you exploring the like the main section that you'll be like roaming in. So the main characters are really fun. The sides, like the side quests are like in abundance. There are tons of things for you to do. So I think it's a solid game. And then you have Playtale, you have Xenoblade, you have Stray, and you have the big two. And these two are like what everyone, it's come down to these. This is like a battle between LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
Snap.
I'm telling you, it's like, it is, in the gaming world, we haven't seen a matchup where, like, two games, which are universally got 10s across the board.
Hmm.
Yeah, 10s across the board. It's both of them are, like, 90-plus on Metacritic, so they're A-plus games.
Wow.
And we've never seen anything, like, quite like this to where, like, it can go either way. It just kind of depends on, like, who these people vote for. And those two games are Elden Ring, which is FromSoft. This is like the open world version of games like Dark Souls, Demon Souls, and all that kind of stuff that we've seen from FromSoft over the last like 10 years. They've put everything they knew and everything that people loved from those, albeit challenging games, mm-hmm. Into like an open world that's very similar to a mixture between like Zelda and like a lot of different like other elements of RPGs. It's very dark, it's very gritty, it's very gothic. It's like you are a lowly person trying to take down behemoths that are like maybe like 10 to 13 times more powerful than you are. Yeah, and it's a rich world. There's a lot of lore and stuff like that. And I think one of the big calling cards of the game is not only the game's pedigree developers, it was also made, I mean, a part of the story was written by George R.R. Martin. If you're not familiar with him, watch Game of Thrones. He was the one who wrote it. So I'm mm-hmm. like... Mm-hmm. It has a big pedigree behind it. And then you have the other one, God of War Ragnarok, the sequel to God of War.
I've heard of that one. You can't not hear about that.
Yeah, the God of War Ragnarok. So the sequel to God of War 2018, this takes place, you know, shortly after the events of 2018. Not to spoil anything, but like this game is magnificent. I haven't played a game with this level of story that's being told where everything feels like it has weight. Everything matters. Like all the characters you meet all matter. It feels like, I kid you not, it feels almost Game of Thrones in its own right, where Game of Thrones always has a plot and all those minor plots always come back later on. Like everything in this game feels like it has weight to it. And the game is fun. It's like it has that Mortal Kombat like brutality mixed in with like the nuances of a good story. So I'm like, everything you would want out of like a big beefy AAA video game that you play this game and you bring people over and they're like, oh snap, games can do this now. Like that is the type of game like that this is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it on Xbox and PS5 or is there exclusive?
No. So God of War is exclusively to PlayStation 4 and 5. So if you do have a 4, you can still play this. But Elden Ring, on the other hand, is exclusive to PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 5. So you can generally play it on the big three.
So the way that you describe this, and I'm not too technical when it comes to video games, but ray tracing, mm-hmm. is that like mm-hmm. a really predominant like feature that makes it stand out?
It is. Like ray tracing, for a lot of people who don't know, is like almost like the glimmers you see in the world, like sort of like the wet surfaces or like the sunlight like shining on the pavement in the street if you're playing like Grand Theft Auto or Spider-Man. Right. It's like that when you're playing Spider-Man, it's like that, like the reflections that you see on the side of a like a glass skyscraper. That's like reflections. That's like ray tracing there. And then it's like, it's just graphical elements, this small little bitty things that make the game look and feel more realistic and a little more like lived in and a little more like gloss to it. Like whenever you walk around in a world, like the Stray game I was telling you about. Like, if it's raining and you can see those puddles form and you can see, like, how the water is, like, impacting the actual puddles and you can see the reflection off of those puddles of your character and of the, like, the moon and such like that. That's a good example of good ray tracing. And, oh, yeah, like, God of War has that in abundance. Elden Ring has elements of it. Stray has elements of it. It's, like, ray tracing is just the next step forward in video games.
Yeah. So out of the two big boys, which one do you like the best?
Oh, God of War.
God of War. No hesitation. This is like God of War. Thomas Lime. He ain't drinking.
No. I think Elden Ring's a fantastic game. I think it's a fantastic game. I just think it appeals to a very small, like, if it appeals to an audience that is very niche. Where, like, if you like games that is going to challenge you, if you like games that are going to punish you, if you like games that were, like, the objective is for you to feel weak and then you to slowly, gradually overcome, like, all obstacles and then you become, like, a god in a world. Elden Ring is that kind of feeling. Like, Elden Ring, you are encouraged to die and death is seen as, like, a small step forward versus, like, God of War, like, you're a god in God of War. You start off as a god and you're facing off against other gods in the Norse mythology and, like, it is... Yeah, you're facing off against Odin. You're facing off against Thor. And yeah,
Thor's ass. Come on, let's go.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go. Let's kick Thor's ass.
Thor in this game is just as badass as he is in the MCU.
Oh, like, all right. Well, maybe we gonna drink a beer first. Hold on.
Yeah, but I think the main preference for me and the difference between the games is the storytelling element of God of War. Like, everything in God of War, the minor characters that you meet from the major characters that you meet, all have a purpose and all have a sense of drive and focus versus Elden Ring, where the narrative is not given to you right off the bat. You have to read and find the narrative. It's all about
time for that?
No. So,
man,
yeah.
It's 2022, yeah. Man. We skipped through this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the cliff notes. So it's really potato, and that's just like, the reason why I say it's like LeBron James and Michael Jordan in a sense is because, like, they are so different kind of styles, just like MJ and LeBron. They're different styles that they play. I must say they play different positions, so to speak, because they do kind of play differently, even though they are in the same ballpark. They are both video games. They are both beefy RPGs. But, like, that's basically the only similarities between them. After that, you know, like, their games are completely different.
So are people still playing Call of Duty like that?
Call of Duty is still, like, the number one selling game, annualized game, you know, year after year. It's just I think the sales don't quite reflect the audience's, I guess you could say, the feedback the audience and the critics are responding to. Like, there's starting to become the discourse that, Call of Duty is starting to feel, dare I say it, stale, repetitive, kind of same old, same old.
I mean, how many ways can you get, like, flashbanged and headshotted, you know, by a sniper? I'm just saying. They just changed the area, right? Okay, so I know one time, because I spectate. Mm-hmm. So one of my best friends, he's, like, deep in the Call of Duty. And I just watch. And I noticed over time they added certain things, like, I guess the dogs at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But do they add something special every time, or do they just change the scenery in the location?
You know, they really just kind of change the scenery and kind of change the vibe. Like put it like this, Call of Duty Advanced War is all about, like, more futuristic weapons, so to speak. Like, you know, 2024 kind of weapons versus what we would imagine weapons to be like in 2024 versus, like, weapons that we would have now in, like, Modern Warfare 2, which is, like, it's almost, which is, like, I think it's second or third time coming out with Modern Warfare 2 because they keep recycling the same names over and over again as well. But yeah, it's, I digress. Like, it's different. And then you also have, like, you have some iterations where they come out with, like, World War 1 or World War 2. So it does feel like the same old things. Or Black Ops. Black Ops is another one where, you know, its settings is closer to, like, the 80s, the 70s and 80s. So it is just one of those things to where, like, it is, I don't know, you hit it on the head a little bit of how can you make this feel different. But you also have that problem of, like, the settings that you choose are the same three settings. You kind of have to kind of switch things up a little further.
So it's like The Walking Dead of video games.
Yeah, basically.
So you talked about the good side, the popular games that are winning awards, potentially. Now, I've listened to your podcast, and there's some that should not even be mentioned. Like, I'm going to get it wrong, but it's a Batman game. I think it was two Batman games, or DC games specifically. One was a Batman-related, one was DC Pets.
This week I did a theme to where like I focused on superhero based games that have come out recently, and though and both of those games were games, and by the way, one of them is Gotham Knights, which is a game similar to like the Batman Arkham series, but instead of playing as Batman, you play as the sidekick, so to speak, the Bat family, which is, it's a cool premise, because like I do think, you know, those are characters that are, you know, like well-developed characters that just don't get enough love outside of the comic books. Right. So it's a cool premise there, but like the game and the way it plays and the sense of like the game direction doesn't quite add up to a cohesive product that I'd recommend to people.
Yeah, it sounded like it wasn't.
No, yeah, for sure, for sure.
You were trying to pull some positivity out there. You try. I mean, so is DC's not having a good year with games?
No, but the crazy thing is like DC was ruling the roost with games for the last 10 years.
Arkham Asylum, I mean, stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight. Then, you know, like they had a good library of games there. They, you know, just that staple alone, you know, you had a tentpole. Whereas Marvel didn't really, while they were putting out games, didn't really care that much about video games, especially sure during the. No, they didn't. They were putting out licensed games and such like that, games that were associated with the movie still, that had no business ever being put out. But now you're seeing a switch to where Marvel is like putting a lot of money into games. Their recent Spider-Man game is a highly decorated game. It's a well-polished game. And that's just Spider-Man 2018. And then you have Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is one of the first time I got... Oh, for sure. For sure. One of the first games I ever got to see a black man be featured as a prominent figure in video games, where he is not only the main character, but he's not necessarily like he's not like portraying negativity. He's not like out there like, right. It's not like San Andreas to where like you are playing as a black man who's basically causing anarchy in a city. You are playing as a pillar in the community. You're playing as like a godsend to these people. Like, you are a beacon of hope, and that's the first time I've ever played a game like that.
Yeah, that's dope. And if I could recall correctly, on the PS5, that was the first one that really promoted ray tracing, right?
The PS5 and the Xbox Series X both have those ray tracing elements. The PS5 is just, I would say, I'd lean more towards and saying it's the more popular, you know, like popular console, especially among like our community as well. You know, like you hear all the memes like she did it, I did it for the PS5 and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know,
did.
Like
they did though. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So you never heard like I did it for Xbox. And I have an Xbox. It's just like I have two, as a matter of fact. But like in our community, like the PlayStation seems like it holds more weight, and that it like
it's like Jordan's.
It is. It very much is. But, like, to answer your question, though, like, both consoles have ray tracing. Like, one of the big, I guess you could say one of the big marketing pushes was ray tracing for the PS5, though.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Man. Now, speaking of consoles, you mentioned to me that they're looking to put these consoles, for whatever effing reason, into electric vehicles, which makes sense, but... Mm-hmm. Somebody got to drive this thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of traffic, but do you really have... So explain to me how this works. Is it in the front? Like, I know in a Tesla, you can play some games with the display.
The 17-inch console. Yeah. The infotainment system.
Is there, right there?
Yeah, so like... In a Tesla, they have an infotainment system, and you can play the games just right there. So some of the big games that you can play in a Tesla right now is like Stardew Valley, which is, you know, one of the more popular life simulation farm games, you know, out there right now. And then you have Cyberpunk, which, you know, when it came out, it was a big debacle. But like now it's it was a big debacle. But like now it's turning into like a really good game that a lot of people are playing, especially because of the new anime that came out.
Yeah.
Like Edgerunners, that's on Netflix right now. If you haven't watched it, by the way, you should check that one out. It's actually really good.
I'm going to put that on the list because we're on the anime kick. We just finished Demon Slayer, but that's a different thing.
Yeah. To get back into the subject, though, you have Cuphead, Cyberpunk, Cat Quest, The Witcher 3, which is, you know, like a lot of people's, for the last generation, one of the best games of the last generation. A lot of people's, a lot of people's top games of all time is The Witcher 3. So, like, it's not just small games like Cuphead, Cyberpunk, Witcher 3, Stardew Valley. These are like premium games that you could actually play in a Tesla right now.
So with the game consoles itself being put into EVs, are they, you know, what we know as the PS5s and the Xboxes, or are they customizing it for, like, you know, in-house what they're trying to build?
No, from my understanding, it's just them putting the, like, putting the console in a dedicated spot, in like a permanent dedicated spot in EVs. Like PlayStation right now is, or Sony right now is partnering with Honda, and they are looking to put, so far they've announced one model, but the rumor is that they're going to do three models that are all going to have like PlayStation infotainment systems. From what I've seen from like the mock-up, it looks like it's going to be like in the back, more in the back. But then, you know, like, I mean, I can also see, you know, them putting it in the front, because it seems like a lot of consoles are being put into the front as well.
How do you feel about that? Like, you know, that seems like a really big distraction, unless they restrict it while you're
while
like,
parked.
Or charging, you know? Mm-hmm. That'd be great if it's for charging, but do you see the potential of people trying to bypass whatever restriction while they're driving, try to play it while they're on autopilot, and, you know, whatever version of autopilot that they have?
I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. I do think, like, just like there are some cars that right now that have the feature to where you can't do like certain things while you're driving. So, like, I feel like they'll lock that behind, like, you have to be parked and or charging, you know, like, I imagine just parked would unlock that capability. But, like, I don't really foresee this being an issue. And I, you know, there's always the knuckleheads out there that are always going to, like, try to circumvent the system and, like, break and kind of break into it. But, like, I don't think the vast majority of people are going to do that. And I, you know, like, most of us aren't technical savvy enough to, like, want to break the code in a car and risk, you know, like, the car going AWIRE, especially with EVs where, like, Tesla and Rivian all have, like, systems in place to where, like, there's codes in there to where it operates your rearview mirror, where it operates your, like, your heating, your like side mirrors, like everything about like EVs, like the Rivian, like the Rivian and Tesla is a lot of software based, like a lot of software based mechanics, so to speak. Yeah. So I wouldn't really risk it just for the sake of you playing while driving.
I mean, it feels like they would like kick the price up, the MSRP up a lot. Well, they're already doing it, right? You know, the dealerships are already, like, especially for, like, the Ford F-150 Lightning. Jesus Christ. These guys are, like, almost $100K more than they're supposed to be charging. So if they put that stuff in there, you know, certain places are still, like, absorbing or raising the prices for PS5s. How high is this price going to get, I wonder?
You know, like, I don't think it's going to raise the MSRP too much, because, like, majority of the companies besides Honda that are trying to do this are, how do I put it, like, luxury vehicles, so to speak. So I don't think the PS5 aspect is going to have a whole lot to do with like the MSRP of that. But right, it's probably just going to be like, this is available in the premium version of this car versus the standard version. So, like, if you look at like the Rivian, it might be available in the SUV version versus the truck version. So I'm like, it's just really just, I think it'll be just a premium feature that's available in the premium market.
I think they should include it with the Hummer just because it has everything else in it, you know? So in terms of EVs, all right, so EVs are getting popular, right? I see a lot more EVs on the road that are not Tesla. Good job. But I hear these reports, in spite of the popularity, they can't make them enough, but it's a kind of a trade-off. It's a good trade-off. I guess it's balanced in the universe. So the cost of ownership, we think, I kind of think about this as how they kind of promote LED lights. Mm-hmm. The cost of ownership, it lasts longer. You know, the LED lights are supposed to last for this many years, 25, 30 years, whatever. No, they don't. But it feels like they're kind of running that game with the EVs, like, cost of ownership, over the lifespan of the ownership of the car is supposed to be lesser than combustible engines. But I heard a report recently that indicated, at least in the current iterations, the reliability of, I would say, at least the U.S. car makers are causing people to come out of pocket big because there's a lot of electrical issues. Specifically Ford, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, with the Mach-E.
Yeah. I guess they didn't build it from the ground up like, let's say, I guess maybe Hyundai did. So I guess there's a contrast with it. How true do you feel that is with, they're kind of saying, the cost of ownership of an EV over the lifespan is going to be less versus a combustible engine? Do you believe that, or?
I do. As an EV enthusiast, I do see like the pros and cons of owning an EV, but like I do see that in my experience, I have seen a lesser amount of like overall maintenance costs and right. and gas costs and all that kind of stuff. I do think it is few and far between like when you come out of big. I have heard of like people having to replace the whole battery situation and that being like a 10 grand kind of like issue, but you know, usually those things are under warranty or like
yeah.
a lot of the stories that I heard about like people having to replace it for 10 grand is like one story I heard. I'm like where a girl like was trying to drive through like a muddy field and got like got half her car wet because half of it was like submerged in like, you know, like a what basically is like a trench, sort of like a lake sort of situation. And I'm like, yeah, in that case, I'm like, that's user error more so than it actually is the EV itself. But
do you know how electricity works, people?
Exactly, exactly. But I mean, if we're being honest, though, I mean, like there are so many benefits of owning an EV. The lack of oil changes there. I mean,
yeah
the lack of having to wait at a pump. Sure, you're waiting at like waiting at a charge station. But to be honest, I'm like most people who drive EVs, when they're actually driving their EVs, just charge at home. Like they just simply charge at home and everything like that. And then I know what a lot of people are going to say, like, hey, like the charger costs a lot of money. And I'm like, there are ways to circumvent that. I'm like, yeah, you can just call your electrician and have him put in like a 240 outlet in your garage. And they and like you can order the like extension just online. Like all the car manufacturers just make the extension like outlet. So you just take. Yeah. So I'm like, it's a $600 cost versus a $5,000 cost. I'm like,
go with that.
The people. The people, I feel like the people who like have the massive complaints about the like the cost of EVs just haven't done research about EVs. It's Yeah, it's the EV market right now is very similar to the Gen 1, Gen 2, and Gen 3 market of the iPhone. Like
very
the
comparable.
iPhone came
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. The iPhone came out and people were like really loving the tech but also very fearful of like, oh, that screen is going to make your battery like that screen is going to cause everything to go awry. Like the battery is going to go down super fast. This will never work. The screen is just hammering the whole experience. That touchscreen element is really going to kill the battery in the long run. And if it kills the battery, that means you're going to have to charge the phone up a lot of times, which is going to kill the lifetime experience of the battery. Now, I think we're, iPhone 14 right now?
Yeah.
I would probably say it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, with the exception, and this was an iPhone, with the exception of that Samsung Note that caught fire, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, coincidentally, you know, EV Bolt caught on fire. So, I mean, we're right on track here. We're right on track.
Far for the course.
You know, yeah, for sure. It's just like everything else, you know, there's always learning curves that have to be associated with it. And, you know, like right now we're following China's lead. Like China's killing it with their EV market. And you never hear about like people in China complaining about anything EV because like they are heavily loving the culture around it. Like they are getting cars that get closer to 500 miles per charge over there. They are getting, and I mean, that's a huge difference.
That's dope. Now that's the difference. Thing that I think holds people back. Part of me feels, I don't know how accurate this is, but a part of me feels that the oil lobbies like BP and all those that are lobbying to restrict the distance, the range of these vehicles, so people feel the anxiety and they're like, I'm not ready. Let me wait a couple of more years. Let me buy this car over here. And I don't understand. I guess it's like old ways of thinking. I don't understand why oil companies just don't kind of glide in and pivot and put those charging stations at a lot of their locations where they have gas stations at convenience stores and stuff like that. It feels like a no-brainer to me. Instead, I feel like they're restricting it, and that's trickling down to people not really adopting it like they should, you know? Because, I mean, you said 500. Man, I can't get 500 in my unleaded vehicle, you know what I mean?
No, for sure not. And to be frank, I mean, that is a smaller scale, like, according to some of their vehicles. Like, there is one report of a Neo car over there getting, like, 650. And that is, yeah, 650 on a single charge. But I digress. Going back to your original point you just made, like, I do think there is a lot of pushback from big oil companies on the EV market. I also think there's a lot of pushback from, like, these smaller mom and pop, like, gas stations as well. But, like, the market is going to lean towards this. The market is getting, like, shaped towards this. Hotels are already signing contracts with like, Charge USA and other companies to put charge stations at hotels. Taco Bell is leaning towards doing a Sonic model to where, like, it is going to, like, have Taco Bell's be shaped like Sonic to where, like, EVs will come out of that.
It's a great idea.
Oh, for sure. Like, there's a, if you look at EV concepts right now, just Google EV concepts, there's a lot of cool, like, things that are, you can see that are going to happen in the future. Like, a lot of, like I said, restaurants are going to have, like, the Sonic style to where you pull into a stall, you're charging, and you're ordering your food through the stall outlet. You're also, like, drive-through movies are going to make a comeback because they're going to have charge stations and drive-through stations, drive-in movies, like, right alongside of each other. They're going to make a comeback. Like, what's old is going to feel new again because a lot of these, like, just like in the early installments of cars, we had, like, entertainment portions according to, like, those older bases. Right. A lot of those trends are going to come back. You see it in the Volkswagen, like, you know, like, the classic hippie kind of car, like, that they're putting out. A lot of these old body types are going to come back in EVs as well. So I'm like
that. Yeah. I want it to accelerate faster, but the American car makers, Ford, gotta get that stuff right. You gotta get
It's going to be faster. No, maybe not to the pace that you and I want because we're tech enthusiasts. And I think a lot of the excitement, especially for you and I, is probably like, this gives us new technology, basically. It's not just the fact that we're on a new, I guess you could say, power source, so to speak. It's the new technology associated with that power source. For the first time in 100 years, we're seeing a major industry in our economy switch and actually innovate from a technological standpoint. Like, we're actually seeing that. We haven't seen, I mean, we've seen, like, little small upgrades in cars since the 20s, but let's be honest here. Yeah. The car, I mean, we're still driving something that's on rubber wheels. The infotainment system is still shooting out the same air. It's just we only got nicer screens and nicer bodies, like, that we're actually driving in. The rest is, like, we're still doing that same little thing we were doing in the 1920s, just upgraded a few notches.
I feel like it's those lobbyists doing that. Fuckers. Yeah. I always tell my wife, my next car is going to be an EV. Mm-hmm. I really want that Lightning. I really want it.
The Lightning looks good. I actually like that. I like the Silverado, though.
All right. So the Silverado. Love the Silverado. Mm-hmm. It is heavy. Heavy.
It is heavy.
And the Hummer.
A big beefy boy.
The Hummer. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Last question I have about the EVs for those two. Mm-hmm. All right. At some point, how quickly are you going to wear the brake pads off of this heavy
thing? From what I've seen, like, that, and I'm not super ingrained on the aerodynamics or everything like that, but, like, from my understanding, like, they have, because of the lack of an engine and all that kind of stuff, they have pieces in place to where, like, the parts don't wear down as fast as it does on a regular automobile. So I know, like, with Lucid right now, I don't know if you heard of the company Lucid, who's also, like, a competitor of Tesla right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're killing
with
it.
Lucid, yeah, like, they are an almost sports car-esque to where like they're stopping and going to an extreme amount. Like their acceleration is so extreme that like you would imagine those brake pads would go fast. But for some reason, like through either the parts that they use, the aerodynamics of it all, or the fact that just in the body style, like it doesn't wear down fast. And I think that's incredible. I think that's indicative of like where we go in the future. Like we are probably going to have more durable cars. And we're probably going to lean towards, you know, like a model to where like we'll just like do battery replacements as opposed to new cars as like every 10 years. But, you know, if people are still going to want something new, so they'll probably still buy a new car.
I think we'll get that as long as we can until they like put it in there to where they can't replace it.
Yeah, for sure.
Be like the iPhone all over again.
For sure. But I mean, the law is coming up, you know, like 2030 will be here for, you know, it. And that law is like the law in place that will prevent a lot of states from actually selling non-EV cars.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have a good pivot for this, but before you go, I wanted to ask you about this because we talk on Discord a lot. Mm-hmm. I used to use Twitter a lot. Not really the place for interaction that much, but, you know, it's more broadcasting. Everybody knows that wasn't hiding under a rock that Elon Musk bought Twitter. There's a lot of drama behind it. I wanted to get your thoughts on the social media part. Like, how does that change in, I think, what the dynamics of what social media is right now? How does that change the whole aspect of you marketing, interacting with your audience?
I think a lot of that is just pivoting towards, you know, like moving a lot of the audience to Discord and Hive and, you know, just, you know, you don't want to panic too much and just like abandon ship. You know, like if you have a following on Twitter or if you have like just a habit of being on there and connecting with people on Twitter, just keep doing that until the reels fall off. You know, like we haven't necessarily seen a lot of the yeah, exactly. We haven't seen a lot of the major changes yet, and it hasn't died yet. We have seen quite a few changes, but not enough to where like for normal people, I think it'll really drastically impact your like situation or anything like that. So I just say continue business as normal. You know, you can start a following on, I think some people are doing Mastodon, some people are doing Hive, you know, like check both of those things out. I'm leaning towards more the Hive market than I am the Mastodon market, which kind of like is a hybrid between Twitter and Instagram a little bit. Like, oh, okay. It's a little bit of a hybrid between those two. So I think, you know, like there is going to be a lot of like trial and error for what, you know, different niches lean towards too. Because I know like certain niches, like in the video game industry, I think they're going to lean towards Hive versus anything else. But like tech, I guarantee you it's going to be wherever Marquez Brownlee goes, like MKBHD goes, like everyone else is going to follow.
Yeah. When he leaves Twitter, I delete my account. I mean, like, yeah. Come on. What am I there for? Angry people? I mean, I can get my news off of a news app.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I remember when Twitter first came about, and I see where it grew, not so much in user base, but popularity. And I feel like we never really figured out what the hell Twitter was for, but we're there anyway. You know, just the algorithm is there, which is, I guess, the level setter between, you know, social media and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know Elon's doing some stuff trying to tweak that thing, but I feel, in my opinion, I want what we know as social media now, which is basically ad-driven a lot, mm-hmm. which drives that algorithm. I want that to go away. I want it to go away because it makes an additional obstacle for content creators. Especially you go on like a Facebook group, that it doesn't have an algorithm too much there, but that's a place to avoid it. You get nothing but spam, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, like the ad stuff is a double-edged sword because a lot of content creators do like the ads because they can market towards them. because they know, like, if you already see ads on a site, you already know who's, like, endorsing that site. So, like,
right.
If there is an opportunity for you to put content on, like, say, a Twitter, you would know what ads are already on there, who you can talk to, and different things like that. And, you know, like, social media managers, PR managers are readily accessible on Twitter more so than any other platform. So
it is true.
So it's a double-edged sword. It really is.
And I feel like the podcast community is pretty, you know, heavy on there too. Trying to hold on. Mm-hmm. People are moving to Mastodon, but I'm like, it's just
Mastodon and LinkedIn, I think, for the podcast community.
Yeah. Which I didn't see that LinkedIn thing coming, man. Mm-hmm. Microsoft did a nice pivot with that. didn't see it coming. I try not to go on LinkedIn too much because it just feels like I'm looking for work.
It feels work. Yeah. It feels very work friendly. Yeah, I understand. I look on there and I always feel like older than what I am every time I'm on LinkedIn.
I see my avatar looking for work. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Walk off here again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what comes next for Sebastian? We talked about you maybe expanding things out over time, but in the near future, let's say to close the year out with the podcast or anything you're doing, the videos on YouTube, the communities that you support with your fans and whatnot, what's next for you?
So right now, the big plan in action right now is to just get bigger and bigger, get better and better. You know, I want to be there for the single player gamers out there and just be there for the audience. And, you know, I really just, you know, also adding like interviews to the right now. So to the podcast right now. So like recently I spoke with one of the senior designers from PlayStation San Diego. So he also, this guy worked on Jedi Fallen Order. He's worked on Horizon Forbidden West. Shout out to Horizon. Very diversity friendly. So like he's worked on a lot of different things. So it's just meeting people, marketing, branding, and really just for me personally, just having fun with this, because like I'm very much enjoying meeting all these single player gamers and just gamers in general and talking to people such as yourself, talking to other groups that have reached out, you know, that want to, you know, mingle and market and such like that. So the big plan right now is just growth, both like for the podcast and for myself, and just, you know, be happy and, you know, keep gaming.
Hey, that's what I like, you know. I remember back in the day, parents would be like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you on that game console so much?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of treat it like rap. Leave that thing on. Turn that shit off.
Yeah, that's exactly what
they... Look at them now.
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong, boomer. Sorry, you're wrong, boomer.
Exactly.
I like the way that it gives certain people a way to, you know, have a place of zen. It teaches you a good skill set as well. Hand-eye coordination is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And, I think in the pandemic, once we were, like, home all the time, I think people realized that gaming is just not for fun, per se. It's mm-hmm. It's therapeutic. You don't have to put on a VR headset. Just pick up a controller. You don't have to play a board game. Just pick up a controller. You don't have to go outside, you know, and subject yourself to foolishness. Let's pick up control. I love that. And the community is always strong, man. The community is always tight-knit, very on point with what they want, what they dislike.
And, oh, for sure.
Yeah. So don't make DC pets anymore.
No, for sure not.
But I hope that your podcast brand does grow, and it will. I want everybody to go out and subscribe to the Single Player Experience now on all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You heard.
Already?
Got the voice over here. This, you know, very, very, still very clean. I commend you on your approach to it.
Thank you.
I mentioned this to you before, but it's like a seasoned vet, man. You know, I like to learn stuff from other people wherever I can. And you may not have thought it, but I picked up a few things from you, man. I picked up a few things. So
I'm going to have to reach out to you and ask what you learned then.
I mean, just to kind of, you know, just to have a more targeted... I actually changed the way that I talk about subject matter on this podcast mm-hmm. because of your pivot.
Really?
More targeted, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I used to talk about broad spectrum of things. But it's a more... just tech podcasts. He used to talk about, you know, worldly things, you know, world events. And I'm like, you know, this guy has a great idea. Let me adjust, because that makes perfect sense. So, you know, the influence that you have, you know, by getting on the mic and doing what you do, you might not know the footprint that you're making, but it's a power that you wield, and with great power. Y'all know the rest.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Shout out to my boy Spidey.
Yeah, man. But it was great having you on the show again. We got to have you back again at maybe the first of the year to see how things went and everything with the holidays, what new games may be coming out. You know, talk about EVs a little bit more here and there, and, you know,
some tech. We can throw in some tech too. Man, I got a smart house, so.
Man,
anytime you're ready.
Yeah, we need to rant about some things because you need an IT person to ride sometimes. To talk about matter, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff. So, yeah, man, we're going to have you back. So, thank you for coming on the pod again. I hope you stay blessed and highly favored. And everybody out there, let me tell you one thing. The holidays are coming. They're here. They're here coming. You know, you ate turkey, you did all that stuff. You're going out to find your game console.
The Grinch is on TV.
The Grinch is on TV. Charlie Brown is only on Apple TV Plus. Oh, by the way. And you're trying to find your gifts. You're trying to figure out what gifts you want. Please, and I said this before, if you are trying to send gifts to someone, don't send them a gift card through the mail.
Nah. Don't do it. Do an e-gift card. Do an e-gift card, people.
They are fishing them things out. I'm telling you, man. Yes, yes. So stay safe. Stay blessed, everybody. And until next time, this is the MavCast. We out.
Peace.
Shout out to Atlanta. Yeah. City that pays me. Relax yourself, let your conscience be free. You're now rolling with a dude named MAV. Relax yourself, let your conscience be free. You're now rolling with a dude named MAV. Relax yourself.
So that's a wrap for today's episode. I want to give a special shout out to Charlie Maverick for having me on his show and allowing me to post this episode of his show on the Single Player Experience podcast. Hey everyone, I want to encourage you to go check out the MavCast. He's doing insanely good work, putting out insanely good content, always bringing it. So definitely go check out his podcast. I also want to remind you that if you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your video game backlog list, then you can join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or just talk about some good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay safe, happy gaming, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.